this is, I guess, part two of the message I started last week, which was 2017, the faithful shall flourish. And it shall be like the days of heaven on earth. I said something last week that you probably remember if you're here. I said, that's a prophetic word from God, but it's not for everybody. And it's unfortunate that God intends it to be for everybody, but not everybody enters into it. Because the reason is you can only get these things by faith. Unless you believe for it, you're never going to enter in. So we know that in as far as the children of Israel was concerned, they were all promised the promised land, but only two went in. Now, was it God's fault? He promised millions of people the promised land, but only two took up the call to believe by faith and enter in. So 2 million or over 2 million people died in the wilderness without receiving the promise that was intended for them. So likewise, 2017, God's promised that you will flourish, but unless you take it by faith, unless you do some steps of faith to enter in, you will not get it. So that's why the Holy Spirit was on my case about saying, hey, there's a choice involved. There's a choice involved here. And that's why I've entitled it, the choice is yours, the blessing or the curse. The blessing or the curse. But let's start by who did their homework during the week? Well, you're going to do your homework now. So the homework now. So I gave you that sheet of paper last week, so I've got it up here again. So you can say it with me. 2017 is my year to flourish. Come on. It's my time to thrive. It's my time to increase. It's my time to enlarge. It's my time to grow. It's my time to prosper. It's my time to abound. It's my time to spread out. It's my time to expand. It's my time to make steady progress. And this will be the high point in my life. Now, if you confess it and you believe it, it is yours. You know, I'm going to be as open and transparent as I possibly can be in this message. You know, the word to flourish means to thrive, to succeed, to grow vigorously and to prosper. That's what it is. And it was interesting, I even went back through some of the prophetic words that he's spoken personally to us, and it was flourishing in that time. And there was one over Susan that she would flourish. And so God is reminding us again that this is the day, this is the time. The open door is there. It's up to you to walk through it. It's up to you to walk through it. You know, there's another word that God uses to describe flourishing. And the word is blessed. The word is blessed. And Genesis 12 and verse 3, we see where he used this word. And he said, I will bless those who bless you. I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth will be blessed. So he was talking to Abram at that point. He said, I'll bless those who bless you. Now, I want to show you in the Amplified version because it helps us understand what God's talking about here. And he says, and I'll bless those who bless you, who confer prosperity or happiness upon you. So in Abram's case, if anyone was blessing and putting prosperity on Abraham, then God was going to bless them. Hey, it's interesting. So for someone to be blessed, when they blessed Abraham with prosperity, then God in turn blessed them. Maybe you're getting a thread of what God's trying to do. He's trying to get you to be a blessing so he can bless you. He's trying to get you to prosper somebody else so that you can prosper. This is the way. Now, in the case of Abraham, anyone that cursed Abraham, God was going to curse. So it's interesting how it's upon a man that the blessing and the cursing is initiated. Very interesting. Now, continue on, it says, and him and curses him who curses or uses insolent language towards you. And you, in you will all the families and kindred of the earth be blessed, and by you they will bless themselves. Interesting. You bless yourself by blessing somebody else. That's the principle. That's the principle. So the word to be blessed means empowered to prosper. So when God says, I blessed you, he empowers you to prosper. He gives you the capability to prosper. But there's an issue. Hands up if you believe that God has blessed you this morning. Okay. Here's another question. Now, I don't want you to put your hand up for this one. I know you're pretty keen to do it. But I want you to think about this one. Do you believe that God has blessed you and you've increased so much that people envy you? Now, that's what the blessing really means. The blessing of God means that the abundance is in your life so much that people envy you. They want to be you. They want to live in your house. They want to drive in your car. They want to do those things because they envy the blessing that's on your life, because that's what happened to Abraham. That's what happened to Isaac and to Jacob. Everyone envied them because their blessing was so abundant and they didn't know how they got it. It wasn't by natural means, but they envied them. And that's what the word tells them. The abundance on their life was so opulent that people said, even kings envy them. Kings envy them because of the wealth that they had and the abundance. Well, that's God's plan for us, that we are flourishing so much that people envy us of us. And they certainly, if you go take the thread of the blessing in the Bible, it's always an abundance of prosperity in every area. Nothing missing and nothing broken. And if you're not prospering like that, then I want to put it to you this morning that maybe something's missing or something is blocking the blessing for operating in your life. So we better find out what it is so that we can flourish in 2017. If there's something that's been blocking us, let's find out what it is so that we can enter through that doorway with an abundance flowing in our life. Because we know that God's word is true. If we don't find out what it is, then we'll be continue to be stolen from. Because if you're not prospering right now, then somebody or something is stealing from your life. Because the blessing of God's there. The blessing of God is true. It's been created for us. So if you're not prospering, something's stealing from your life. So let's find out what that is. And by the way, you know what the drill is in this house. God speaks to me about my life and my situation. He gets on me and he starts stirring me up, and then he says, okay, now I want you to release that word prophetically so that you get stirred up. So I preach to myself all the time. All the time I preach myself, because the word, I always take it for me. I take the word for me, and then the Lord says, okay, there's an anointing on that. I want you now to speak it out, because as you declare it, it will not return void or empty, but it will accomplish what I please. So God compels me to speak this to you as his prophet this morning. Turn me to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. I want to declare a couple of things just in foundation here. And so Romans chapter 3 and verse 4, it says, for what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? So if you do not believe what God has said, will that change the situation with God?
No.
If you don't believe that the blessing is from God, will that change the blessing? No. It says here, certainly not. Indeed, let God be true and every man be a liar. As it is written, you are justified by your words, that you may overcome when you are judged. So what I'm saying here is you've got to get to a place where you say, I'm going to let God or his word be true, and everything that man may speak is a lie if it doesn't line up with what God says. And you might say, well, look, the blessing of God should be on my life, and why am I struggling in this area, or why is this happening to me? So maybe the word of God is not true. No. Every time the word of God is true and every man is a liar. So the thing you see right now is a lie because God's word is true and your situation has to be a lie. It has to be a lie. You're either going to choose to believe the lie or believe God's word. There's a choice. There's a choice we have to make today. And when you come to the place, and declare it's time to believe God's word or believe God and his word and not what the doctor says, not what the bank says, not what my mum or dad said or my brother or my auntie or whoever is coming against it and saying, you are not going to prosper in this area. Who do you think you are? I know your background. I know your limitations. See, they are speaking a word which is a lie because it's contrary to what the Word of God says. And you've got to get very aggressive about this. If you want to go and take possession of what God's promised you, you have to be aggressive about this one. See, supernatural blessing is contained, or it contains the prophetic Word of God which you have to believe. So I want to start this message with some snippets from the prophetic words that God has spoken to us, and I'm just going back 1 year only. I could go back, as many of you know, that I can go back 30 years and roll out prophetic words that God's spoken over us and over the church. But I'm just going to go back to 1 year, rewind, and give you a couple of sentences of what God has spoken. And he said this, but today is a new day of healing, and out of those wounds have come blessing. Out of those wounds have come blessing. Because you've remained faithful in the time of bruising, so I will bless you in the day of healing. There will be a whole new tree, and I see a tree which is coming out of winter, where the branches are barren and there have been no leaves. And I see bursting forth of leaves. I'm talking of healing and fruitfulness that will follow the healing. And out of fruitfulness will become greater discipleship and greater levels of blessing. It's speaking, when it speaks of tree and fruitfulness, that's flourishing, it's abundance, it's blessing, and also it's all wrapped up in healing. And it goes on, another snippet says, people are just coming, going to find refuge within your church, within your community. I really see broken, hurting people. People that are damaged, come and find home, come and find rest, come and find restoration and find life again. I receive salvation in an increase, not just in numbers of people, but also disciples. There's a difference in winning people and making disciples. You know, and I'm all about making disciples. I've seen in my time in churches, I've seen many, many thousands of people come in and say, I want to be a Christian, and then die on the vine. Not made disciples. Never nurtured, never developed, never planted and rooted into things of God where they begin to flourish. But it's like that word was sown by the wayside, and then after a period of time, they're gone. Because there was no soil. That word wasn't planted and it wasn't watered, and they didn't come under teaching where they could grow and develop, and then they produce fruit. The plan of God is that each one produces fruit. Not that you just hang around as a branch, but you produce something in your life, not just a branch. Do you like that, darling? It goes on to say, I really see a big breakthrough about to happen. And there's going to be financial blessing. Again, God keeps telling us about financial blessing. And there is business people that are going to get behind your vision and your dream and your desires. No dream and no vision that you have is too big for God. That's what he told us. So I am dreaming some big dreams. I really am. My dreams are so big that it would scare you if you understood the dreams. He's going to multiply everything that you put your hands to. He's going to bless every single area of your life. Your ministry, your family, your finances. And the word goes on and on about flourishing, about blessing, about abundance, about how massive God is going to build this church on words. And it's not going to be built on systems. It won't be built on this special thing that we're doing. It's just going to be built on what we declare. And now I say the same thing to your situation, to your family, to your life, to your ministry. You have to build it by what you declare. That's the way it has. You got to build it by words. Build it by words. Because it's supernatural. If it was natural, then I would say, Eddie, come on, let's go and build a structure. No, we have to build it by words. Declaring what you want, what you desire. And that's what the word says when we pray. Believe what we say. Believe what we say. So the blessing is in power, or is in the empowerment for success. So Ephesians 1 and verse 3. We're just going to get into the message now, by the way. So that was just all warming up. Ephesians 1 and verse 3. Blessed be the God of our Father and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Now, you wouldn't believe how many people get this passage wrong. How many people think, well, okay, God has blessed us with a spiritual blessing, so that means that we're going to feel really good coming to church. No. That can mean that as well. But what it means, a spiritual blessing in heavenly places, it means that he's taking the blessing of heaven and going to put it in your life. Do you think there's anything missing in heaven? Do you think there's an abundance of things in heaven? Absolutely. So God is getting the abundance and the prosperity of heaven to come into your life. He's declared it on that word there. And that's what the prophetic word, 2017, will be like the days of heaven on earth. In your life. Amen. It's taking heaven and transporting heaven, the blessing of heaven, the abundance of heaven, into your situation, your daily situation. What good would there be to be saying, oh, well, it's a spiritual blessing, so therefore it's not tangible. No, everything in the spiritual realm is going to be manifest in the natural. And it changes the natural situation. It changes it. Galatians 3 and verse 13 and 14, you know this. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree, or a tree, that the blessing of Abraham, the abundance, the promises of Abraham, might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Here it is, that it might come. It might come. The Scripture doesn't say that it will come. It might. It's available. And it's only available through faith. The only way you're going to get this is by faith. You know, Galatians 3 and verse 29 now, which talks a bit more about this. See, we've been redeemed from this curse. Now, we've been redeemed. Jesus redeemed us from the curse. He redeemed us. What else did he redeem? What's in that curse? Anyone want to tell me what's wrapped up in the curse? Sickness. So he redeemed us from sickness. Poverty. Right? Poverty's in the curse.
Loneliness.
Bondage. All those things are wrapped up in the curse. He's redeemed us from it. He's redeemed us from it. Galatians 3:29 says, "And you are Christ's, and if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed." So everything Abraham got, you get. It's not a trick. It's not just written down there so that we can recite a couple of things. No, God's telling us everything that I promised Abraham, every blessing I promised Abraham, you get.
That's right.
Because you are Christ's. See, Christ redeemed us from the curse. And then he made the blessing that was available to Abraham to us, but only through faith. So you are Abraham's seed and your heirs according to the promise. So do you believe that you've been already blessed by God? So there are many people who are born again and they believe that they believe they have got that blessing. But I can tell you something. It appears like the curse is working in their life. Now, I said I was going to be very brutally honest this morning. That if we've been blessed by God, why can I see the curse working? What's under the curse? Sickness, disease, poverty. I can see that working in the church.
Fear.
I see the evidence of that working in the church, yet we declare that we're blessed. So something's wrong. Something is missing, or something is blocking that blessing from coming into our life, and the curse is still working. And I've had arguments with people that say, how could we be cursed? If God, Jesus paid for it, how can we be cursed? It's the same way that God had promised the children of Israel the promised land, but only two got it. Did God lie about that promise to them? Oh, it appears that way at times. It appears that God lied because there's people still sick in this building today. There's people still not prospering and having an abundance. So it appears that maybe God's not truthful. But do you look at things you see or things you do not see? Do you look to the things that you can see now, your bank account, what the doctor says, or do we look to the supernatural realm where it is all created for us in heavenly places? That's where it is. So what is blocking your blessing? What is blocking you from prospering? What's blocking you from flourishing? You know, Proverbs 26 and verse 2 says this, like a fleeting sparrow, like a flying swallow, a curse without a cause shall not alight or shall not come. So if there's no cause, the curse can't come. So if the curse is working and you're redeemed, you're blood washed, there's got to be some reason for it. Because God has paid for it. Jesus has redeemed it from us. So he's paid the price for the curse, but we haven't obtained it. We're still under that curse. It's still operating in our lives. So we know the curse cannot come without a cause. There's got to be a cause. There's got to be something that's causing the curse to work in our life. So there is a reason. And you may be thinking this morning, well, I thought that Jesus destroyed the curse and redeemed me from it. So how can that be working in my life? How can it be blocking my blessing from coming? Well, let's have a look. Let's find out what the Word says. So in Numbers chapter 22 and chapter 23, it's a great passage to see how the curse is actually working. And we see there where Balak, the king of the Moabites, at that time sent for and employed Balaam, the son of Beor, who was an occult seer. He was an occult seer. He saw things by the power of Satan. He saw the future. He saw in people's lives. People would come to him and he would get spiritual interpretation. He was a seer. So he was spiritually turned on in his spirit to seeing things. He could see fortune teller. He could do all those sort of things. And we pick up this account, but we see what he did. And as a result, the king of the Moabites saw what the children of Israel did to the Amalekites. He saw how God had gone before them and destroyed. So he was trying to use sorcery to bring a curse on the children of Israel. He thought, well, if I can curse them, if I can bring some black magic or something to bear to curse them, then they won't overcome my land. So that's what his plan was. So we see that when Balaam comes on the scene, the first thing he gets Barak to do is, I want you to get 7 altars and I want you to make 7 sacrifices of bulls and of rams. So there had to be blood shed. And that's in the demonic realm as well. There's got to be blood shed for there to be empowerment of the supernatural. So we knew about that. So let's make the sacrifice. Let's spill some blood so that we can empower the spiritual forces. And so in Numbers 23 and verse 8, and we pick it up here because he says, how shall I curse whom God has not cursed? And how shall I denounce whom God has not denounced? So he found it very difficult. He tried all sorts of things. And when he got out there to curse Israel, they were up in a very high place overlooking the plain where the children of Israel were. And he was there and he opened his mouth and what came out was blessing. Here was a person who was doing great supernatural things but could not bring a curse against the children of Israel. And chapter 19, he says, God is not man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make good? Behold, I have received a command to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. So when he spoke it out, the king said, no, don't bless. I want you to curse. He said, I can't do that. Because God has spoken in my situation, and when I opened my mouth, all that came out was blessing. I can't reverse it. See, God has blessed us, and he cannot reverse it. He's not a man that he should lie about you being blessed. So when God says you're blessed, he's not lying, so something is blocking what God said. God cannot reverse it. You're blessed, and that's it. But something's here. So then, is it possible that you've allowed something to come up in your life that's blocking the blessing flowing in your life? See, a curse will block the blessing. You know, God is all-powerful, but the curse, if it's got a reason to be in your life, it will block the flow of blessing. Let's find out what it is. Because the curse can't come without a cause. You just can't have a curse working in life. There's no cause or there's no right for that to work there. See, eventually the curse came into the camp of Israel when Balaam could not curse them. He knew that his employment was determined by his ability to curse them. And when it looked like the king of the Moabites was so upset with him and was not going to give him any money, he said, well, I will show you, I will teach you how we can bring a curse to the children of Israel. So he taught them. He taught the king, he said, I want you to send in all the prostitutes you've got into the camp of Israel. I want you to send them in. And he sent them in there, and some of the men of Israel took those prostitutes, slept with them, And yet the result was that 24,000 were killed with the plague. The curse came in. Hear that? There was no way that he could curse them, but because they opened the doorway, the curse came in. So the curse came in. It had legal right to go there because of sin. There was a cause, and the cause allowed the enemy to get into the camp of Israel. 24,000. And it was so important that we understand that there's many times through Scripture it's mentioned, and I'll take you to one place, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 14. And it says, talking about the end time church, "Behold, I have a few things against you, because there are those who hold to the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak how to put a stumbling block before the children of Israel to eat things sacrificed to idols and commit sexual immorality." Even the, and this is Jesus himself speaking to the church, say, "I've got a few things against you, that you hold to the teaching of the doctrines of Balaam." There's a curse working, and that was the Jesus himself declaring, "Be careful, because this is going to be one thing that's going to stop the blessing in the church." You know, in Job chapter 4, a friend of Job, who was a good friend, Bildad the Shuhite, says this in Job 4 and verse 8. "Even as I have seen, those who plow iniquity and sow trouble reap the same." So he was making an observation of things he's seen. Those who sow or plow iniquity and sow trouble, that's what they reap. Very basic. So they were reaping what they sowed. Then his other friend, Eliu, if you say it that way, said this about God in Job 36 and verse 7. "He does not withdraw his eyes from the righteous, but they are on the throne with kings." The righteous. This is where God sees it. That he doesn't take his eyes from the righteous, and they are on the throne with kings. "He has seated them forever, and they are exalted." That's a great, powerful statement about how God sees the righteous. That's how he sees the righteous. But listen to verse 8. "If they are bound in fetters, held in cords of affliction." And we're talking about the righteous here. We're talking about kings and priests. So if they are bound with fetters, held in the cords of affliction, which is sickness, poverty, areas like that, it sounds in this case that the blessing has been blocked to the righteous. Even though God sees them as righteous, there's still a curse working in their life. Then verse 9, he says, "Then he tells them their work and their transgressions, that they have acted defiantly." In the Amplified, says, "with presumption and self-sufficiency. He also opens their ear to instruction and commands them to turn from their iniquity." So here's what the word of the Lord says. God sees you as righteous, but he also sees the affliction and the fetters that bind you, so he brings the word to tell you where you've erred. So that he brings instruction to you so you can undo the binds, so you can get rid of the curse working in your life. And this is the plan of God. He sees you as kings. He sees you as his righteous people, but still bound in fetters because of your own self-doing. That's what it says. That's what the word comes. Bring instruction. I bring instruction to you today so that you can break out of those things, so you can go through the door, so you can get what everything God's planned for you next year. You can do it this year if you want. I'm getting mine. So God does not want us to be blocked from the blessing that he's provided. What a unusual God would be to make all this abundance and just keep it. So I've got all these things for you, but you really can't get them. No, he's created them so that we can prosper. So we can have them. But there's something that limits us from taking hold of those. And because the curse is working in our life, we've got to understand what it is so we can know how to make withdrawal of that blessing that's available for us. It's only by faith. You can only take it by faith. That's the only way we can get it. The same way, we've got to exercise our faith to undo the curse that's working in our life. So, we have to know how to withdraw the blessing. And I've written down four things that you need to do to withdraw the blessing. I'm trying to be very practical. First is obedience. It's always the first things. If you obey the commands of the Lord, your God, then all these things will happen in your life. So obedience, when you hear what God says, be quick to obey. When the prompting of the Holy Spirit comes, be quick to obey. Quick to respond. Because there's things in your life that will always come up, but and the Holy Spirit will remind you, he'll make a way to escape. Be quick to obey. Quick to obey. Number two, faithfulness. And it means applying faith to your diligence. You have to apply faith to it. That's what faithfulness is. In the same way, you know, when you start to confess the word, do it every day. Make it a religious thing in your life because it's by your words you're going to do this. You're not going to get out of prison in this area unless you do it by what you say. And you might be saying, well, look, I'll just leave it to Sunday and Michael can do it for us. No, you've got to do it yourself. It's only going to happen by you. I'm responsible for me. Susan's responsible for her. She can't do it for me. I can't do it for her. We can do it together. The same way. I'm responsible for you as your pastor, but I cannot do it for you. Also, having a pure heart. The word says, blessed are the pure in heart. Having a pure heart, a pure motive, what you're doing. And another way is the tithing exchange. The exchange, and if we get some time, we might go into that, but the tithing exchange is the thing I believe that underpins all these areas. So the blessing blockers, I would say, are exactly the opposite of all that. So what's blessing your stopping the blessing from coming? What's blocking it? Well, it's the opposite. If to be getting into the blessing is obedient, then disobedience is the one that blocks it. It's not rocket science. It's pretty basic. So if you're disobedient to what God says, if God's word says this and you're doing something else, that's going to block you straight away. It's going to block you straight away. Not being full of faith. Not applying faith to every situation. The children of Israel did not go in because they did not mix faith with what they were told. So every time you're told something, you have to mix faith with it. You can say, well, okay, that was a good message. No, mixing faith was, I'm going to apply that in myself, in my life right now. I'm going to make a change today. I'm going to make a difference and I'm going to exercise faith in doing this. By not having a pure heart is another way to block it. If there's impure things in your heart that is going to block you every time, it's all to do with your thoughts, what you got in your heart, things you put in there. Another major thing is not tithing will block the blessing. Yet, love is all about the pure heart. So Deuteronomy 11 and 28 says this, or 26, Behold, I set before you today blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commands of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse, if you do not obey the commands of the Lord your God, and turn from the way which I command you today, and go after other gods, which you have not known. So it was very simple. God said, I set before you two choices. He's done this all the way through his word. I set before you blessing or the curse. And I don't know how thick the human race is, But it seems to every time go back to the curse. Go back because it's an easy way. It's a way that seems right to the man, but to the end leads to destruction. It's a way that seems okay and everyone's doing it, so it's easier to flow with what people are doing rather than do what the Lord's commanded. Do what the Lord's commanded. You know, John 14 verse 21 says this, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." So that's another commandment, is keep the commandment and love the Lord your God. So the commandments of Jesus is to love the Lord your God, and if you love him, you'll love your neighbor. The love of God will be shed abroad in your heart, that the love will come out, a pure heart, a pure motive. See, the enemy of love is selfishness. The enemy of love is selfishness. Just me and mine. Me and mine. And if you do this to the least of him, of these, that the word says, that you've done it to me, the Lord said. So in other areas, have no strife. Stay out of strife. Strife, I mean, look, it comes in families. It comes in situations where we're out of love with a family member or something. Strife comes and it stays with us, and it's like a thing that blocks you. It's unresolved situations. Even in the body of Christ, strife is there. And it's working. And the reason it's there, the enemy puts a stumbling block in front of us that there's strife. That love is not abounding. And it blocks us from the blessing. You know, some of you are so angry and hurt and frustrated, and it's actually not fear. Those frustrations, those hurts, are never fear. Things that have been done to you are never fear. Things that have been stolen from you have never fear. The relationships that have been broken have never been fear. But you've got to refuse to get into strife. You've got to refuse to do that and choose the love walk. Choose to love. Because if you can get into that area of strife, it's disobedience and it's going to block your blessing. Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 says, "Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of your Lord your God and observe carefully all that he commands you, or the commandments which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth, and all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you, because you obey the voice of the Lord your God." Now, let's go back to Job 36. And where we were talking before, we'll take it up from verse 11. "If they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasures. If they do not obey, they shall perish by the sword and they shall die without knowledge." Without knowledge of what God's going to do on the earth. Because what, remember what it was? Because even though they were righteous, even though that they were set as kings, they were bound in fetters of oppression and affliction. And then the word says that he sent the word to teach them and instruct them. And if they obey the word and serve God, they'll spend their days in prosperity and the years in pleasure. But if they do not obey, they'll perish by the sword and they'll die without the knowledge of God. The righteous will die because they're in the curse. The curse is working on their life. So there's four areas of disobedience that you can make a note of today. Number one, are we putting God first place in our life? Or have other things become more important for us? You know, when I have to look at the life of people, and when there's other things that are more important than coming to church, I have to say that the curse is working in your life. See, that's the things of God. See, there's a great exchange in church, and it's God's plan, and it's actually the plan of Jesus. He said, "I'll build my church, and the gates of hell or Hades will not prevail against it." It's his, belongs to him. He's put it in place so that there can be a transfer. A spiritual transfer. You bring the tithe, you get the blessing. That's how it works. Number two, Are you living a godly lifestyle, or are you living one that's exactly like the world? There's no real difference. People can't pick you out and say, well, something different about you. No, you've got the same issues. You're going to see the same doctors. They're going to knocking on the bank's door all the time. It's the same issue. There's no difference between you and the world. Number three, are you walking in the love of God, or do you have that strife in your life? Number four, are you honoring God with your tithes? Now, Zechariah 5 and verse 3, it says, then he said to me, this is the curse that goes out over the face of the whole earth. Every thief shall be expelled according to this side of the scroll. So it's interesting that this is the curse that goes out of the whole... So there is a curse that goes out over the whole earth. So the curse exists in the earth, and it knocks on your door and is binding the church. That curse has got the church bound, missing out on the abundance of blessing. It really is. And so it's through instruction, through what the Word says, and the plan of Jesus is to give us an abundance for 2017, but I can tell you now that you will not get it unless you deal with some of these things. And you've got to go back to the area of obedience. What's the last thing that God said to you? Go back and find out what it was, because He's spoken. And you'll go back and you'll see, well, maybe that was a few years ago, but I never really attended to that. I never addressed that issue in my life. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Obedience is better than sacrifice, just in a minute. So that's where it is. Obedience is better than sacrifice. You know, this morning, just for a time, I won't go into the rest of this message. We'll deal with that next week. But I want to deal with the curse that's working in our life. And that's going to mean obedience. It's going to mean you to say, well, I'm going to stand up and I'm going to apply my faith to the Word. I'm going to do something different today. And so I want to pray with you this morning that the curse is broken. Now, there's people that need healing. That's part of the curse. There's people that just need to stand up and say, Lord, this is going to be my year, and I'm going to make a stand to say, I'm done with that. I'm going to now choose to obey you. This is my day. This is my time for breakthrough. I'm not going into another year without these things dealt with. God wants to prosper you. I've said I'm going to be very open with you today. And my desire is that God prospers you in every area, but let's get rid of the things that limit. Get rid of those things in our life that have dogged us for so long so that we can break free and we become who God's called us to be. There's probably not one person here who can say that I'm free totally from these things. We all need a Savior. We all need the Holy Spirit to do that. And He's come to you today with a word that maybe is not a word to rev you up, but it's a word to get rid of the curse working in our lives.